Now, have you ever had an itch that you just couldn't scratch? Severe itching can be symptoms of a number of skin conditions, and scratching can often make those conditions worse. Celine Daney, dermatology nurse specialist, is here to tell me more. Pruritus.
Pruritus is the fancy medical term
pruritus.
For itch. And then we have intractable pruritus, which is an itch we can't medically explain. There's no reason for it, and we can't actually treat it either. There's no cure for itch, so we don't have a tablet to get rid of itch.
All right, now the common itches. I mean, if people have psoriasis or eczema, are they going to itch?
They are going to itch. And eczema particularly is an itchy skin condition. Then we also have things like scabies infections, head lice infections. We have general medical conditions like kidney failure, liver failure, diabetes, other medical conditions that can actually incite itch as well as a symptom. Sometimes low ferritin levels, low HB levels as well. If you have MS or motor neuron disease, you can get itchy too. So there's a lot of medical conditions that can make you itchy.
Yeah. Is itching characterized as an irritation or is it pain?
It's not pain, but it's linked to pain. So itch is necessary. It's our body's way of defending itself. So for example, your intestines, your lungs, your liver, it doesn't feel itch because it doesn't need to, because your skin does all that for you. So your skin, this amazing organ called your skin, actually feels itchy to protect you from foreign objects. So think about being on your sun lounger on holiday, with your factor 50 on, obviously. But your mosquito bites you, it pinches you, it releases a compound into your blood, which is an anticoagulant, a little like aspirin or warfarin, to stop the blood from clotting so it can feed away on you.
So it wants liquid blood.
It wants liquid. It wants filling. So, unfortunately for the mosquito, in that compound, we are allergic, mildly allergic to that compound it releases into our body. So then our body releases histamine, becomes itchy, induces inflammation as well, and then we get the sensation we want to scratch, and you scratch to get rid of that mosquito as well. However, it's not that simple. We don't understand itch fully, and we don't understand why some patients develop this chronic itch that we just can't explain and we can't treat very well either. We do know it is involved in pain nerves, a subset of pain nerves. And we do know this subset of pain nerves actually emit a compound called natriuretic polypeptide B. And this peptide is released into the lower level of the spine of the central nervous system, travels up through the thalamus in the brain, and then it's reacted to the motor part of our brain, which tells us to scratch. It also is linked to the reward part of the brain at the frontal lobe there. So when you scratch, your brain rewards you for doing that. It says, well done, because you've done something that's going to protect your body. Also, scratching induces slight pain, very, very mild pain. And those pain nerve fibers then take over, and then you forget about the itch. So when we have patients, in particularly adults with eczema, for instance, that we just haven't been able to control, they say they scratch and they scratch, their skin bleeds and it's infected as well, because they feel the pain is easier to deal with than this intractable itch.
You were quoting Dante, at me.
Yeah, I was quoting Dante. Now, I wasn't quoting the poem, but apparently this famous Italian poet actually wrote a poem about what hell would be like, and he said that hell would be in a pit, not being able to scratch. That itch you can't scratch.
Forever.
And it really, when you see patients coming in with itch, whether it's psoriasis, eczema, whether it's from a drug eruption, and sometimes some drugs can cause itch as well, particularly painkillers, which are opiates. So even our friend Mr. Salpadine as well, codeine can actually cause itch. So whether it's there's a reason for it or it's intractable, patients will come in sometimes and they'll be so distressed they can't sleep at night time particularly, and it's very distressing for patients.
And if ever you talk to someone who's got a plaster cast on, and there's an itch in there somewhere, and they simply cannot get at it.
And it becomes obsessional then. You can't stop thinking about it. And the more you think about it, the worse the itch gets. So how do we treat itch? We do something called distraction therapy. So first of all, it's our friend soap substitutes and moisturisers. So no soaps, bubble baths, no shower gels. Use a very bland substance to wash with and to moisturise with. Very old-fashioned treatment for itch is menthol added to moisturiser. Very old-fashioned and very effective. Keep it in the fridge. It's pence. Actually, Oveldo and menthol in an aqueous cream with no sodium lauryl sulfate. You can buy it over the counter without a prescription. Keep it in the fridge. Keep that skin cool. So when people come in with intractable itch to me, the first thing I ask them is, do you use a hot water bottle? Do you have an electric blanket? Do you have heat on in your room? We're kind of spoiled with heat now. I can remember a time we didn't have heat in our bedrooms, but now people have hot water bottles, blankets, temperatures at 25 degrees in their bedroom. So no hot showers, no hot baths, no hot water bottles. Keep it cool.
Okay, now you mentioned the conditions like eczema and psoriasis and so on, for which there are treatments to try and get rid of them or to keep them at bay. Do they if they're effective, do they get rid of the itch anyway?
They do, because the skin is healed and then that itch goes. So, for example, we use mild topical steroids on prescription. We use total ammonium therapies as well. But sometimes, particularly children, will get into something called an itch-scratch cycle, where they start to itch, scratch, they get this reward. Then they keep on itching and it's better than pain and they're scratching and they make the skin infected and you can get lichenification of the skin, which is thickening thickening of the skin. So then the itch-scratch cycle gets worse. Especially infected skin, dry skin is itchy skin. So what we do is something called distraction therapies.
Now you have with you a child's doll.
I do. I have my little baby with me and I bring this everywhere if I'm talking about eczema particularly. So distraction therapies could be as easy as count to 10. You feel itchy, don't scratch. Tell yourself not to scratch, put your hands on the table, don't scratch, and that feeling will go away. Turn on a TV show, put on some favourite music, go for a walk, do something different to distract yourself. Children are harder to distract, but a great way of doing it is use a soft piece of Velcro. So you can imagine there's a kind of a hard, rough piece of Velcro. Mm-hmm. The soft piece of Velcro, you can buy it in large pieces, like it's a kind of 5x5 I have here. So I have a very basic child's toy. A lot of kids that we have a favourite toy. So it's great if you have a favourite toy belonging to a child, you're trying to get them to stop scratching, stick a piece of Velcro on the back of, soft Velcro on the back of their toy or in their pencil case if they're going to school as well. Mm-hmm. Children get a bit kind of bored, they start to scratch their skin and they can scratch this instead. It sounds like scratching skin, it feels like scratching skin, but they're not scratching their own skin.
Let's
can have a look at that, Pat. Okay. And it's soothing for children. So do you feel that reward centre of your brain? That polypeptide is moving?
So instead, say if I have an itch in my head or something like that, instead of scratching the head, I go...
Scratch that, yes. And the worst thing to say to somebody that's itchy is don't scratch. If you remember the Father Ted episode where Dougal had the big red button and Father Ted said, don't press the big red button. And all you can think about is the big red button. So what you
don't
say
Don't mention the war basil.
mention the war basil. So you don't say don't scratch because they will just think about scratching. Mm. So just distract instead and keep it cool, keep loads of ammonia.
And there are temporary itches like sunburn, for example, when your skin begins to flake.
Yes, and that's again your brain telling you you shouldn't have done that. This is new skin cells being made and this is your brain telling you you've done some damage, don't do that again.
All right, we've got loads of questions coming in for you and Celine, Katie is on the line. Hello, Katie.
Hiya, how are you?
Now, I'll ask Celine to stick on some headphones. By the way, she will be doing Facebook Live after this, so anyone we don't get to on air can go on Facebook. So what's your question, Katie?
So I get chilblains every winter and so far I haven't been able to find a cure and I was just wondering if there's anything you know about it that can help.
All right, and what is your lifestyle? I mean, are you out in the cold a lot?
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, I'm on Christmas break now from college, and so I'd be at home a lot. And what kicked it off this year was our stove cracked, so there was no fire in the house anymore. So that's what made it start this year.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes. Morning, Katie. How are you? It's quite a common problem. Do you suffer from cold hands and feet, Katie? Do you find that it's hard if you go out in the cold, your hands go a little bit blue or they're hard to warm up? Do you find your feet get cold and they're hard to warm up?
Yeah, exactly, all mm-hmm. the time.
So this is something called Raynaud's that a lot of people suffer from. And we don't have a cure for it, unfortunately. The thing to do is to try and keep the temperature the same. And just like Katie said, her stove cracked, there was no heat. Often we find students in accommodation, they don't turn the heat on or the heating is quite drying in their homes and then they fluctuate. So it's the same with eczema. You go from very hot and like college is roasting warm and then your car might be warm and then you're out in the cold, damp climate and then you get into bed and you might say, I'll throw a hot water bottle in there. You put the feet on and then you got Mr. Chilblain coming up. So trying to keep the same temperature in wherever you are is a good idea.
Now, Celine, there are people listening in who've never had a chilblain. They don't know what a chilblain is. Now, when I was going to school, I remember and we were walking along in the ice cold, no gloves a lot of the time, sliding on slides and doing all sorts of things. And everyone had chilblains. You just don't, I mean, kids don't know what a chilblain is now.
They don't because, again, we were actually saying, just the previous bit we were talking about, that we have heat in our bedrooms that we never had before. So, for instance, 30 years ago, people might have had a central fire with no radiators. So how you warmed yourself up was you threw a hot water bottle into the bed, you put your feet on the hot water bottle and these extremes of hot and cold are not a good idea for people that have cold hands and feet. So trying to wear cotton socks, a couple of pairs of socks to try and keep the temperature about the same as much as you can without extremes.
What is the chilblain and how is it?
The chilblain is particularly in people who have this Raynaud's, where they find their blood doesn't flow that well to their hands, their feet. They get blue hands and feet, and they don't keep their temperature very well in these extremities. So it's where the skin is becoming itchy and reactive to fluctuations in temperature, basically.
All right, and therefore the advice for Katie is
moisturise, use a soap substitute, and do not use hot water bottles, electric blankets, but warm yourself up with cotton socks, 2 layers of cotton socks. If your hands are cold, wear leather gloves. If you're looking for a Christmas present, get a nice pair of leather gloves, not woolly gloves, leather gloves, to keep that temperature the same in your hands and your feet.
All right, Katie. That okay?
Yeah, that's great.
All right, Katie, thank you very much. Now, this one. I was diagnosed with scabies 2 weeks ago and given Lyclear. I'm using tea tree, but the itch is so bad still, and I'm very clean. That's from Martin.
It's not about being clean or dirty. You've just got scabies from somebody else who has scabies, and it doesn't mean that you're dirty at all.
Highly infectious.
Highly infectious, yes. Now, the first thing is don't use tea tree. I'm not a big fan of tea tree at all. If your skin is broken, like we were saying about the scratching, if your skin is broken, tea tree can actually introduce infection in your skin, so I don't recommend you use it for a start off. The second thing is, when you're using your Lyclear, it's a two-step process. You have to put the Lyclear on before you jump into bed at nighttime, from your neck down and every single square centimetre of your body, and that includes under your nails. So we always talk about washing your hands in healthcare. In this instance, when you put your Lyclear on, do not wash your hands after. Keep that thing on, particularly under your nails.
The whole body.
Yeah, you think about scratching yourself with scabies. Mechanically, you destroy scabies with your fingernails. So those scabies live quite nicely and quite happily and breed quite well underneath your nails. So you have to put that Lyclear on underneath your nails. Go to sleep. When you hop out of bed in the morning, you can wash it off and then pull all the bedclothes off and all the clothes you've been wearing and anyone in the house you have a contact with, wash it. And then in 7 days' time, repeat that entire process again. Now, some people can get a post-scabies itch where, remember what we said about, they're not biting you to itch you. It's their body fluids that your immune system are reacting to. That's their wee and their poo and their saliva. I'm really sorry to make you squirm even more. But that's what we're reacting to. It makes your immune system react. And then sometimes what can happen is that kind of immune system, when it's turned on, can stay turned on for a lengthy period of time. Once you've used Lyclear, though, always use Silcox Base or Ovel products. They're soap-free, they're parabens-free for a period of time after, and that kind of soothes the immune system down as well.
More questions. I have a small area over my lip that is peeling for a year or so. It's slightly pink and darker under the peeling.
I would go to your GP with that straight away. I wonder how old the listener is or what their sun exposure is as well. Because anything that is red and peeling and existing there for a long period of time that doesn't go away with normal moisturising, they need to see their GP, because there may be an underlying skin cell changes there and it needs to get seen by a GP.
I wash my hair every second day. Midway through the next day after washing it, my scalp starts to become itchy and painful. There is no dandruff there. I've tried full dose runs of tea gel and Nizoral?
Nizoral
without
shampoo.
Any improvement, any ideas?
Might need a topical steroid on this. And again, go on to your GP for diagnosis, first of all, for him to have a look and see. Very hard to see your own scalp. So you can look at it in the mirror, but you can't actually see your full scalp. So go along to your GP, get him to have a look, describing your symptoms. Sometimes, they're very safe to use in your scalp because your scalp is thick, not like the skin in your face. So you can use steroids quite well, and that actually makes your hair grow a little bit more. Just to see, there might be some dermatitis of the scalp going on here, and the topical steroid will actually get rid of that, and then keep maintaining with your Nizoral or your tea gel after that.
More questions. I've itchy scalp for years, but now have lost hair on my scalp. I'm in my late 60s. That's from Margaret.
Mm-hmm. So when we have patients, for example, with psoriasis of the scalp, we find that it can go from mild looking, just like dandruff, to extreme, where patients, if they're constantly or chronically itching their scalp, they'll actually pull their own hair out.
Ripping it out by the roots.
Yeah, it actually causes alopecia of the scalp. So you get short hairs in the area and you'll get alopecia of the area. So the thing to look at is, why is your scalp itchy? If it's psoriasis, if it's dermatitis of the scalp, we can treat that with topical safe treatments and things like tea gel and Nizoral, which we mentioned earlier on.
I had a minor spot near my eye that began to itch while on holiday. On arrival home, I treated it with pseudocreme. After 4 weeks, I had 3 spots, then recommended to use E45 hydrocortisone. It then spread to my forehead. On visiting the doctor, more hydrocortisone and moisturiser. Over the next 2 weeks, it spread rapidly to my arms. Now covers my body. Nobody can identify it. Also treated with antibiotics and antifungal, but unfortunately no success. Very itchy and preventing sleep.
Your consultant dermatologist will be able to diagnose this. So if there's a rash which you have tried hydrocortisone on over the counter, gone to your GP and various other antifungal steroid treatments, and it's spreading, you need to see a hospital-based consultant dermatologist. Sometimes rashes are really easy to explain away and what they are, but sometimes we need to do blood tests. We might even need to do a skin biopsy to say, well, this is what it is and this is how we treat it.
Heat or perspiration makes my forearms and neck very itchy. Base of my neck at nighttime prevents me sleeping. Sweat from exercise caused an itch on the outside of my forearms that drives me crazy. Is this normal? I've no issues with psoriasis, etc. I should add, I'm a male in the late 50s. I was very active in sport and physical work when younger, so plenty of sweat then never caused a problem. This started mid-40s. Any help would be appreciated.
Yeah, the problem with us hitting our mid-40s is our skin gets old as well as ourselves. So you lose collagen, you use something called hyaluronic acid, you lose some of your subcutaneous fat as well. So the skin dries out effectively. Patients who are over 65, about 80% of them will have what's called xerosis or dryness of the skin. Therefore, dry skin is itchy skin. So before, his sweating didn't bother him. But now, because his skin is a little bit drier, because his skin is a little bit older, he feels the itch. Really basic thing you can do for a start off is to use substitute a moisturiser across the board. No bubble baths, no shower gels, just use a substitute a moisturiser, and also get that menthol in the aqueous cream. It's fantastic. So if he is feeling itchy, but sometimes if you've been itchy one night on the back of your neck or your arm, when you go to bed the next night, you're thinking, I wonder, am I going to be itchy tonight? And you start to itch in response to that. So before you go to bed at night time, put on a bit of menthol in the aqueous cream and you won't itch.
All right. There's lots more questions. One on molluscum, which you can handle on FaceTime Live. Next time, I know you're going to be talking about chickenpox and hand, foot and mouth, which is intriguing. So if anyone has questions about those particular topics, you can text them to us now on 53106, and Celine will handle those questions the next time. But if you have more questions for her right now, just log on to Facebook and she'll be taking questions on the News Talk Facebook page in the next few minutes. But for the moment, Celine, thank you very much for joining us.